This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
A year ago, on May 14th, 2008, at 3 a.m. Pacific, south of Needles, California, on the Colorado River, a longtime houseboat resident, calling himself River Bob, was stunned to see a large, bright, fiery object hurtling from the sky toward him. From the upper deck on his houseboat, he was puzzled by the vivid turquoise blue-green amid other more fiery red, yellow, and orange colors. Despite the strange blue-green color, River Bob thought perhaps he was watching a plane about to crash. Whatever hit the ground was picked up within 15 minutes by a large sky crane helicopter and carried away. What River Bob did not know was that 200 miles west of Needles in Paris, California, a night security guard was also watching a bright object flash through the sky with an odd blue-green color. He thought it might be the breakup of a satellite or space vehicle because amid the colorful sparks, he could see the dark silhouette of a diamond-shaped object like the side of a nose cone. The security guard has asked me to call him Shark, and I talked with him this week about what he saw headed toward the Needles, California region back in May 2008 and what happened 4 months later in August that has convinced Shark that there are vehicles above Earth that can respond to human thought. First, the Needles object.
I noticed a bright object streaking across the sky. Amongst these sparks were heavier objects falling from them and catching the atmosphere and trailing away rather rapidly towards the ground, while the lighter sparking material was staying in a lined formation, an arcing formation, trailing behind this object.
Colors?
Colors near the back edge of the object were more bright orange, some blue, and a unique teal color, as if some type of a unique metallic material was burning. But as this thing arced towards this needle area, what I saw appeared to be some type of panel that had come loose and fluttered about in the trail of sparks, catching air rapidly and decelerating more rapidly the minute objects behind it. It was large enough that as it fluttered in the sky, the wideness of it blacked out the lighted objects behind it, and then it fell away rather rapidly.
And in addition to the unusual teal or blue-green color, you could see what appeared to be an object large enough to be silhouetted against the background of the bright falling objects. And this was what shape?
It appeared to be V-shaped, like some type of panel or nose cone. I couldn't tell for sure what it is. It's too far away and too high, but it totally fluttered in the air and blacked out the lighted sparking objects behind it.
And could you see a point to it, like a V?
It appeared to be somewhat diamond-shaped, like it was part of a nose cone or capsule. But it was some type of paneling object.
So did you then form in your mind the idea that what you were looking at was something that was structured and not a meteorite coming down out of the sky?
At first I thought it might be a meteorite, but like I say, as it went by and started dropping heavier objects and had these unique colors to it, and then this panel-type material came off of it and blacked out the light, I thought it was more than a meteorite, that it was some type of space debris.
Now, did you call the fire department or the police department or anybody to report this?
No, I didn't.
Is there any reason why you didn't call authorities?
Well, I thought if it was space debris coming down, there would be no life form on it. Maybe a busted up satellite, something reentering, and somebody would be tracking it and find it. And it wasn't until the next night on the radio that I heard that other people around the Needles area saw something rather unique. And then I started putting it together that this was probably the same object. And people were kind of being discreet about their identities.
You know that I did an interview with the man now called River Bob, who was on his houseboat, and he reported that this object that he could see, a bright turquoise color, came down and hit the ground so hard that he saw it bounce back up into the sky a little before it fell back down. And then he described the appearance of a large sky crane helicopter that came, and within 15 minutes, whatever this was lifted away.
Right. And I heard that report, and I was pretty convinced that this thing was being tracked. Somebody knew that this was an incoming object, and they were ready for it at that particular location. They had hustled out there and evidently picked it up. But with the secrecy around Houseboat Bob and others, such as the radio station and other reports, I just decided to keep quiet because it appeared like they found most of it. But since the intensity of this investigation has seemed to die down, and what I ran into later in this UFO phenomenon prompted me that I better go forward with what I have, at least about that panel part, possibly other parts that may still be out there in different locations.
Am I the first person that you have told about what you saw?
Other than my brother and my wife, I have not spoken to any other persons or media about this.
Okay, now you mentioned that you had other UFO sightings that haunted you.
Well, it was several months later from the May 14th incident in Needles that during the month of August, about the middle of August out here in Paris, California, that I was trying to observe the stars, which I do on a nightly basis during my work shift. And I have heard about these night vision binoculars, and I don't have a pair. I have a regular pair of binoculars. I tried using my binoculars, and I just could not hold my hand steady enough to look at the stars and keep them steady. I put those away, and what I do then is just observe with my eyes unaided. How I observe it is by picking out a particular lighted object that I believe could be within Earth orbit range to our orbit out to maybe 500 miles or so. And I pick a star that is near it to use it as a larger focal point to discern any movement on an object. So I'm not looking around the whole sky or the space area. I'm concentrating on one little lit faint object that I believe is in near Earth orbit. I was doing this one night, middle of August, and there was this faint lit object that I was focusing on with a star right above it way out in the distance. I was just thinking to myself it would be nice to be able to see a UFO one night. And within a few seconds of thinking that, this object moved from the 6 o'clock position below this star, arced to the right and up to the 5 o'clock position, and stopped. The light that moved from the 6 o'clock to the 5 o'clock was lit the whole time, and I was thinking to myself, well, that is unique. That could be a UFO. If it did more movement, I would be more convinced that this truly was a UFO. And right about that point, it arced up in a counterclockwise motion in a perfect circle, went all the way up above the star and around in one solid motion, and came right back down to the 6 o'clock position. And I said, well, that definitely looks like a UFO. I don't know what more I can ask of it. I'll watch it for another minute or two here. At that point, it didn't move anymore. I didn't hope that it would move anymore. I was just watching it, expecting it to maybe do something, but it didn't. I then turned and walked to my security vehicle, which was a pickup truck, about 10 feet from me, and I rested my arms across the tailgate, and I was facing south. And about three-quarters of a mile away, at about 1,500-foot altitude, there was a bank of clouds, and beyond it was more clouds, and they were all at about 1,500 feet, and they were just going across the terrain up there. I decided to look at these clouds and see if I could discern that they were moving to the east, because if they were, that might mean cooler temperatures for us here in California, because this was hot August days and nights out here. Well, I was watching these clouds for about 2 minutes, and I could not see them moving. They were just stationary. But what I did notice was something coming out from the top of the clouds. slightly to my right and right at the top of the cloud base, like it was sitting right up there. And this object was elongated and was dark and black, but it had amber to orange color along its side edges and bottom edges mostly. It continued out from above the clouds, and this was not moving very fast. I estimate this to be between 20 to 30 miles an hour. It had no wings on it. It was kind of shoebox style, but gem cut. Across the top was flat. Down the length of it on the top and bottom was flat. But from the top on each side to the center was about a 15-degree angle. From the center to the bottom of the craft was another 15-degree angle.
I'm looking at your drawing, and it appears to be faceted the way we would think of something like a gem. And I wonder if you could explain a little bit more about how you are seeing this. Is there reflected moonlight? Is it glowing? Is there something emanating from it?
Well, behind me, towards where the first object in space was the moon out in that area. That moon was about 40% lit. And on top of the unidentified craft was some moonlight. And basically it was highlighting the silhouetted edges of it and the top, which all appeared to be a flat black type of color with maybe some type of diamond pattern on it where the moonlight was catching some of the material, kind of like ripples on a lake at night. The bottom of it showed more of the orange trim along some of its leading edges.
And was this orange light or something else?
It appeared to be orange light because there was nothing in the area that could illuminate it at that altitude and just on those edges. And this thing was still at 1,500 feet, and it was coming out from above the clouds with lighted edges on it of amber to orange.
Did you mean that you thought that you could see some kind of diamond pattern etched into the top?
You can't really tell for sure whether it's a diamond pattern or not, but I'm assuming that it's some type of special pattern because the moonlight that was hitting it was not constant. And as it pulled out from above the clouds, it immediately started pitching downward at about 10 to 15 degrees. The front of this, from the top to the center front and from the bottom to the center front, was chisel-shaped. And what I could see as it angled downward in the front was the back end was coming up. And where the top of the back was and where the sides of the craft ended also appeared that it would be chisel-shaped in the rear, same as in the front. And as far as the orange goes, the orange trim also appeared on some of the top side leading edges, too. But as this thing became closer and closer and came out from the clouds, where it should be picking up more visible ambient light, it seemed to be getting darker. The orange seemed to be disappearing more and more. It wasn't very prominent in the beginning, and now what was outlining it was disappearing.
And what did you think at that moment?
I thought it was trying to cloak itself, trying to be more invisible. It was above the clouds before and would be totally invisible to people from the ground. But now that it was leaving the cloud bank area and coming out over open terrain with highways and roads, it was doing something to hide itself.
How long and wide do you think this thing was?
The length, approximately 65 to 100 feet long and 15 to 20 feet wide and 10 to 12 feet high. As it came out from that cloud bank and coming in my direction at probably 20 to 30 miles an hour, it was pitching forward and it was descending at the same time. And I thought, well, this is great. You know, I'm going to get a good look at this. And it kept coming forward and forward. At no time did I hear any sound from it. It made it rather eerie. And as it approached and was descending, it got down to about 300 feet from me. It was on the other side of a highway. It was about at 800 feet or so in altitude, and it was leveling out. As far as sound goes, I still could hear no sound. I would say that either this had anti-gravity capabilities or it had lighter-than-air gas in part of its structure. And it was 300 feet from me, and it was still moving towards me. And it was at that point that I thought, well, this is going to be darn near right over me or right next to me and over me, and I don't want to be directly under it. I decided to back up next to a building that I was at and just keep my back up against the building and kind of be out of a lighted area and observe it from that point. So I looked down and I backed up to this building and I looked up again when this thing should be right over me or nearly over me, slightly to my right, and I could not pick it out from the sky no more. I don't know what happened to it. It either disappeared or it had fully cloaked itself and was right there. At that point, I just felt an eerie sense. I wasn't sure of its intentions, and I decided I better be a little bit safer, and I went and got into my vehicle.
Why do you think you felt fear?
Well, this was obviously trying to disguise itself, so I did not know what the intentions were. But I also thought at the same time, for me to be able to see two unique UFO oddities in one evening within a couple of minutes apart, some kind of communication that potentially went from my viewing and thoughts to the UFO in space to this object which appeared less than 3/4 mile away and then comes towards me. There's something going on here. It may be technologies for communications and guidance or a whole lot of other things, but I had had just about enough of the UFOs for that night.
Well, let me ask you something. It sounds like the first moment when you had your binoculars and you were looking for some unusual object, and you are thinking in your mind about seeing some kind of UFO. And when the first object moved from the 6 o'clock position to the 5 o'clock position, then you in your mind thought, if it really is a UFO, I wish it would do some more motion so I would know it wasn't a star or a planet, right?
Right. When I first saw it move, I thought that was unique and possibly could be a UFO.
Why do you think you would be afraid of the faceted object if you had just had a positive telepathic connection to whatever this thing was that did the 360-degree loop for you?
Well, from the time I saw that object at the 6 o'clock position in space to the time I saw the object above the clouds was only 2 minutes. And for this to happen, I felt there was definitely some kind of communication going on from the space object to the other craft. But what the other craft's intentions were, I still did not know. Just because one object is cooperating with me in some far distant way did not mean to me that it was still safe to be interfacing with this larger object, which was now hundreds of miles closer in my atmosphere and above my head.
But I still wonder what you were afraid of.
Well, I'm afraid of its intentions. Just because it's there and because it's stealth in a black color, stealthing out its orange perimeter from whatever source that came from kind of makes that pretty unusual. The flight characteristics of this was unlike anything we've had other than maybe a blimp. But yet there was no engine sound, so this is truly a unique and different power source. Where this object is truly from, who's operating it, what their intentions are, I still do not know.
If you knew that it was from some other place, not this Earth, what would your comment be if you had that knowledge?
Well, I would want to know why it was here and what its intentions are. But I was in no position, didn't know where to go with it from there. This is like in your backyard. Okay, now what do you do with it?
And today, as we speak in March, what thoughts have you had since August about the possibility that non-human intelligences are operating in our skies on Earth in kind of stealthy manners?
I think that these possible non-human intelligences are probably there. I think that they're probably communicating with government military sources, and they're probably cooperating to some extent with the development of new technologies.
Are we alone in this universe? And if not, what do the intelligences coming to Earth want?
Well, I don't believe we're alone in the universe. universe. There's been too much happening, not just from this sighting, but in your work and people's other work. There's been other objects filmed out in space that are pretty unique. And they're unlike anything we've seen before.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.